from Peoria Public Radio. This is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. We're talking with John Jost, conductor of the Bradley Community Chorus. Their fall concert is Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. at St. Mary's Cathedral in Peoria. It features three different settings of the Te Deum. So good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come here.
Now, again, this concert consists of three different settings of a fairly standard sacred text called the Te Deum.
That's correct.
I think a lot of us may be familiar with settings of the Mass. How is this text different?
It's different. Well, it's a text that is still used in the Catholic Church. But historically, well, it comes from sometime 4th, 5th, 6th century. We're not sure exactly. And there's a legend that one of the saints improvised this. There's not historical data for that. But someone wrote it. But over the centuries, it's been used often for victories in battle and coronations and sort of great occasions of rejoicing. So when composers would set it, and especially in, say, the last four centuries or so, they would basically pull out all the stops, you know, get all the brass together and just do their best at writing exultant, triumphant music.
Right, because a Mass setting is often very solemn and sometimes somber.
Right.
This is much more boisterous and bombastic.
Exactly. Okay.
And is it intentional that you're fitting this in during the Thanksgiving season and holiday?
I guess it isn't. I just thought of that. But, yeah, that's a wonderful thing. Actually, part of the reason for choosing these, we did almost the same program in 1998, which is a while ago. We had a Handel instead of a Haydn Te Deum, but the Dvorak and the Bruckner were the same. But we've been doing a lot of requiems lately. We did Brahms' Requiem last fall, and we did a Giroufle Requiem before that, and the Mozart Requiem. And so I thought it would be good to do something sort of the opposite of a requiem. I mean, that's wonderful, beautiful music. But as you said, even like with the Mass, it's a little bit on the somber side. And this is something which, as I said, it's just rejoicing, jubilant music.
And the three particular settings that you've chosen all come from a different musical era. So the Haydn, of course, is a classical piece.
Right.
The Dvorak is more romantic, and the Bruckner is more modern. So as you go through these three pieces, are you in some small way getting a snapshot tour of music history?
Kind of. The Bruckner and the Dvorak were kind of the same time. They were just very different composers. Dvorak is... he loves folk music, and there's kind of that aspect or that feeling to the work. Bruckner's piece is very operatic. He never really wrote an opera, but some commentators think this is the closest he came to writing an opera, the way he uses the solo voices. And it's just a spectacular finish at the end. It just kind of pulls out all of his resources. And so they are very different.
I had a chance to hear the Haydn, and I thought, if you like the Hallelujah Chorus, you're going to like the Haydn.
That's right. And and Haydn was very influenced by Handel. He kind of wanted to write sometimes his own versions of the Hallelujah Chorus. And this is just his use of the trumpets and the drums and that sort of thing. And the whole last several minutes of it is this wonderful fugue in which the voices all imitate each other, and they're only singing one phrase at the end, which is non confundar in aeternum, Lord, let me not be confounded. And actually when Bruckner says, it's interesting, when Bruckner sets that, it's a very complicated musical setting, as if he is showing people in total confusion. And then they sort of come out at the end with this big fanfare. So he is musically showing a person sort of coming out of confusion into a place of rest.
And are all three of the pieces sung in Latin?
Correct.
And I know that sometimes there are different versions of Latin. So the Russian Latin is pronounced a little different. Is this something that you have to work with your singers on, or is this all fairly traditional sung Latin?
The most often used Latin pronunciation is what they call Church Latin. And that's basically what we're using for everything. Technically, you could say Haydn would be more German Latin. And some people go to great lengths. There are a few words that are pronounced differently. I think, especially in the acoustics of St. Mary's, some of those niceties would be lost. And we don't want to be too confused ourselves singing three different texts in different ways. So basically we're pronouncing it all with the standard church, kind of Italian church Latin.
And I thought you might address a little bit about how the sum is greater than the parts, that you have sacred music in a church, that it's right and fitting.
That's right. And what beyond that, St. Mary's, even if you hated music, coming to a concert like this, just sitting there with all of the colors and the grandeur and the architecture and the beauty of the church, it's just a wonderful experience. And, of course, that church was still kind of built in the traditional way of wanting to enhance music, wanting to enhance chant or whatever with the acoustics. And it does that very well. It's a very live space, but also very beautiful.
This concert includes not just the Bradley Community Chorus, but also the Bradley Symphony Orchestra.
Correct.
And up to this point, the two groups have primarily been rehearsing separately.
When
do you put those two together and start preparing the final product?
Usually the very last week we put them together. I mean, the rehearsal schedules are different. We have them generally together for 2-3 hour rehearsals, and we hope that we're all prepared enough so that things will really gel. And they generally do. We had our first rehearsal like that last night, and things did come together very well.
And share a little bit about how you garnered this partnership with St. Mary's, because I know you've had several concerts there.
Well, I happen to know Sherry Seckler, who is the music director there. I think it may be, well, in ancient history when we had this group named Ephata, which sang often there, and I was often helping, especially when they added an orchestra. And just knowing what it's like to sing there, I don't even remember the first time I approached Sherry and said, could we have a concert here with the Bradley groups? And they have always been very open and very generous, especially since we're doing a kind of music that fits in so well with that setting.
And talk a little bit about the history of the community chorus and how you differ in terms of the repertoire that you present from some of the other choirs in the area that people might know. What makes the community chorus distinctive, either in terms of mission or in terms of your programs?
Well, when I came here, which was actually, I guess, 25 years ago, there had been already a wonderful tradition of choral music established at Bradley by Dr. John Davis, who had been here for 30 years, I think 31 years to be exact. And he had established this community chorus as an ensemble in which students and community members could sing the best of the classical repertoire. And basically his idea was to do every semester a work with orchestra, with chorus and orchestra. So I was able to come into that wonderful tradition and basically continue the kind of thing that he had been doing. And there are wonderful choral organizations in this area, but perhaps we're the only one that's basically devoted to choral orchestral masterworks. So a lot of the community members, at least, are people who have sung this kind of music for a long time and really enjoy singing it.
And I know that a lot of your community members in particular, they come back semester after semester for many years.
That's right.
Do you have a core of members who were there 15 years ago when you did two of these three pieces with their old scores and their old notations?
Yeah, usually, you know, I'm not sure how many. There might be a dozen people who were here back then.
And talk a little bit about some of the lead principal singers, for instance, Kerry Walters. Don't you have a long and rich history working with Kerry?
Well, Kerry and I came to Bradley at the same time, actually.
Well, there you go.
So she has always been, you know, very excited and willing to sing these kinds of things, and definitely has the background to do it. It's kind of interesting. Two of the other singers who are singing this Sunday, Deborah Austin, also a Bradley graduate, she is teaching voice at ISU, and Eric Ashcraft, also a Bradley graduate, is teaching voice at Luther College, and then John Cook, who is at ISU. Actually, the singer who was supposed to sing got quite sick a few weeks ago, and I called John and asked him if he would come on like 2 weeks' notice, and he graciously said he would do that. He teaches, as I said, at ISU and has just a wonderful voice.
This concert is a collaboration between the chorus and the Bradley Symphony. Does that mean that the two conductors have been able to sit in on each other's rehearsals and compare notes and sort of, does that simplify the process of putting these two ensembles together.
Yes, and actually we have a new orchestra director this year at Bradley, Timothy Semanek, who has a lot of experience working with choirs. And he took a couple of the community chorus rehearsals, and just watching him work was just wonderful. He knows exactly how to handle choirs. And then I've been actually working with orchestras for a long time, and he's allowed me to do some of those rehearsals. So it's a wonderful partnership. When I first came to Bradley, I directed both groups, the orchestra and the choirs, which just got to be too much after about 10 years of doing that, and I really appreciate having help. But there's always been a nice sense of cooperation among the ensemble directors here.
And what's the inherent joy for you in orchestrating such sacred music?
It's music that means a lot to me, and part of the thing about choral music is probably 90% of choral music is sacred music, if for no other reason than the church was the main patron of the arts through a long stretch of music history. But there is just such glorious music out there. And most of the choral orchestral works are sacred pieces, masses, requiems, te deums. There are also some very wonderful secular pieces, and we've done a number of those. But just being able to put that kind of music together with the way it's written, the groups that it's written for, and the soloists. One of the chief joys for me is the last week when everything does finally come together. You've been working with all these separate parts, and it's just glorious when it all comes together, when it works. And it does, generally.
We've been talking with John Jost about the Bradley Community Chorus's upcoming concert. It's Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock at St. Mary's Cathedral. John, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
And Nathan, the Veterans Art Exhibit is on display from now until the end of the year at the Peoria Public Library Main Branch, co-sponsored by the incredible men at the local Order of the Purple Heart and the Peoria Public Library. The exhibit features the work and talent of our beloved military veterans. If you're available, stop on by.
And finally, Suzette, the Peoria Symphony Orchestra is organizing a concert to benefit tornado victims in the area. They're recruiting musicians and singers from across central Illinois to participate in a program that will include portions of Handel's Messiah. The proceeds will be going to the Red Cross for tornado recovery. The concert is Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Peoria Civic Center Theater.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Stephanie Sobey. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you go to our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.